Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus show Extraordinary, and created by Emma Moran.
In this episode, we'll be covering Season 1, Episode 8, Surprise! The Finale, written by Emma Moran and directed by Jennifer Sheridan. I can't believe it's over!
I know, right? Like, it's bonkers. And, I mean, it's awesome that they're already filming Season 2, but, like, this was definitely, like, I thought it was a great, like, you know, kind of what we'll talk about later is, like, one big conglomerate storyline.
Yeah, and they brought everything back together.
Yeah, I thought it was, and, you know, oh, hey, we're bringing back characters, and, you know, these are, I thought it was a lot of fun. But it was, I am disappointed that I don't get to watch more.
Me too.
I do wonder if they're going to release it week to week, like they have with The Mandalorian, given like Disney Plus and stuff like that, because that's what we thought was going to happen before.
Yeah. Hulu and Disney Plus are not typically drop it all at once networks.
Yeah.
Although Hulu's been doing it more lately. I don't like it. Netflix does that all the time, and it really bothers me.
I mean, it's a Netflix thing, and hey, it's a Netflix thing, and I get it. Like, that's just the way that they operate. But, you know, with Hulu doing it, like, it was kind of surprising that it did it that way. Like, Amazon's the one that does, like, the three episodes, and then week to week, and then... Yeah, to get you grabbed in. And then Disney Plus did that with like WandaVision and stuff like that. I think Hulu is closer to like most actual like network shows that are also airing on ABC or whatever. But I'm looking forward to it, but I think it would just be, I feel like we just have a better, not just audience, but like a, hey, we can talk about it week to week. Granted, it's not, you know, The Last of Us or The Walking Dead or, you know, Lost, but it's still something fun to talk about.
I have a feeling that people are going to keep discovering it, and then when Season 2 comes back, it'll be huge. You know, it'll build over this year, the course of the year or whatever, and then by the time Season 2 comes around, people are going to be, like, so excited. I mean, that's kind of how Ted Lasso was, right? Like... people liked the first season, but a lot of people didn't watch it. And then it took about a year I was one of those people. It took me about a year to find Ted Lasso.
It's funny. I'm actually rewatching Ted Lasso because Season 3 just started. And I finished Season 1 and I'm like, man, Ted Lasso, not that this is an other than Extraordinary podcast, but Ted Lasso is like my, like Season 1 is like my comfort food. Season 2 is like my slightly uncomfortable place. And I'm curious how, like, just I've only watched the first episode, but like, this is when people start making missteps or start to have like worse attitudes or whatever. And anyway,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to continuing it and getting to watch Season 3. But as far as our show goes, summary of our episode for the finale, Cash decides to throw a party for Carrie to show her how much he appreciates her, delaying her from having the breakup chat with him. At the party, Jen convinces Carrie to talk to him anyway, and Carrie starts the chat only to be rewound by Cash, who uses the information from the chat to convince Carrie that he's changed. She figures out what he's doing before the end of the night and manages to tell him she thinks they should break up. Meanwhile, Jiz wants to be Jen's boyfriend, and she's hesitant to move so quickly. Ironically, it is Luke's appearance at the party that convinces her to bet on Jizlord. Even introducing him to her mother. Gordon, having embraced his identity as the cum guy, gives Jin money for the clinic, and it looks like season one is going to have a happy ending, until Jizz Lord goes to the shop for pancake ingredients and apparently meets his pre-cat wife and child. What? How'd you like this?
I loved it. I thought having a party at the end of the season was kind of perfect because this show has got a festivity to it, right? Like the characters are larger than life and colorful and having them all together in one location was kind of perfect to be the final episode of the show. I'm so glad like even the mom was there. How about you? What'd you think?
It reminded me of a lot of shows back in, you know, from when I was growing up, where it would, you know, you would be introduced to different characters throughout the season, and then at the end there's some large function to bring everybody back together. Kind of like, you know, like the Harry Potters and all of the stories that had like full-blown storylines. They would have something at the end, whether it was a big battle or whatever the case was, right? You would tie the room together with at the end of the end of the day, and then you're like, okay, and now, and then you set up with the cliffhanger to season the next season or the next movie or whatever. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot of the callbacks, I had a lot of fun with it.
Awesome.
I thought it was a good season to the end, or a good conclusion to the season.
I really enjoyed Mary in this episode. I usually don't like her very much. And I am now going to try out Dairy Girls because I know that she's in that and people have told me it's fantastic. So I'm gonna check that out in the off season from Extraordinary.
Yeah, I've definitely heard positive things about Dairy Girls, and I've seen that it's been released. You know, I'm like, oh, hey, new episodes. All right. Well, I didn't watch the previous season, so I'm short on time, so maybe not my thing right now. But all right, so what do you have for your humiliation of the week?
So I picked Luke not being able to get up, as it were, after Jen dissed him. Not just because he seemed really humiliated by it. Those two women walked by and were laughing, and he was like, this never happens, or whatever it is he said to them. I enjoyed seeing him humiliated because he's just such a jerk, and he had just called Jizz a weirdo, and I was like, don't you pick on my Jizz Lord. So, yeah, fuck Luke. I hope his flying powers are, like, on the fritz permanently. He doesn't deserve them.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, honestly, that was going to be mine as well. And I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going to, another one of those. It's the exact same thing as it was a few episodes ago. It's when Cash finally runs out of juice and he can't rewind time anymore and he can only get back to that one moment. And he's just like, I just can't. Everything that I've tried to do, and I can appreciate the wanting to put it off, but mm-hmm. you know, in that final moment when you finally have to face the consequences to what you've been building, and I didn't feel bad for him per se, but I could empathize with where, hey, all I have to do is this to keep up the lie. And when you finally run out of steam, it's hard. It's really, yeah. really hard.
It reminds me a lot of how, you know, when I was younger, I was a procrastinator big time when I was in school, and I would like wait to the last minute and then stay up all night and write a paper or whatever it was I had to do.
Yep.
And, that only works for certain kinds of situations, and eventually it runs out on you. Like, you can't keep doing that. Sometimes you have to actually plan ahead. And it took me until I was, I don't know, maybe like a junior in college to start getting better about starting my work earlier and not waiting to the last minute, and because I had to work on Teams. Cash seems to me like one of those people, right, who was just always handing things in at the last possible minute, getting extensions, pulling all-nighters. And he basically tried to pull an all-nighter on his relationship. It was really sad, though. Like, when she just kept saying, I think we should break up, over and over again, and he was getting, like, visibly sweatier and tearier right. and tireder. And it was just, I did feel bad for him in that moment because he was truly distraught.
Yeah, I mean, is it humiliating when you finally run out of juice and you finally have to face those consequences? Like, it's not necessarily humiliating, but it was a very emotional moment for him. Although, at that point, both times I watched it, I was like, you know what? It's about fucking time, man. Like,
yeah,
face your fucking shit. But like I said, I can appreciate where you are continuing to want to get away from it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to be broken up with, what are your other options other than to try to avoid the conversation? It's like,
I mean, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's you face it and you say, hey, look, I know that maybe this is just the way that I feel about it. Maybe this is me, you know, adult Greg being okay with, you know, facing the consequences, but it's a matter of, hey, you get out in front of it. You denigrate yourself so that the other person, like, is maybe not the most healthy thing to do, but you go, okay, hey, this is where I've messed up. I know that all I want is to try to treat you better and do this and that and whatever. When I have made a mistake, you hit it head on, especially when you, I mean, and I get it, at 25 or whatever, you may not have that foresight, but for me, it's a matter of, hey, you know, this is where I've screwed up. And if you want to bail on this, I get it. I understand. I deserve it, or it's deserved. So, okay. And honestly, there's a catharsis, you know, in that.
Yeah.
And not just for the person who's in whatever you've wronged, but there's also a catharsis in it for you, because you don't feel, you're not wondering if the axe is going to fall at any given point.
It's true. But I had to learn that lesson as I aged. And as we've noticed many times, Cash is a child, right? He's just, it's like he never left university. He's still there.
Right.
Okay. Job, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So moving on to our points. So we're going to actually go into change things up yet again, just because we want to, and the show lends itself to that. This was all one kind of conglomerated storyline. So we're going to try to cover everything, but we're not going to do it via storylines. We're not going to go back and forth on points. We're going to go with the ideas. Right. So the first one that we're going to cover is the wonderful Miss Carrie and her less than wonderful boyfriend, Carrie and Cash. So as we've talked about, and it's funny because on the second watch of this, you know what's happening. Right. Yeah. And as I watched it, when he was, you know, when he called the surprise party, you know, after, you know, once you have seen what's, you know what's happening, you go, oh, she just came in to talk with him. And that's why he's standing here going, okay, I rewound time. I reset myself. And as soon as she says something, I'm going to say, hey, it's a surprise party, which is what will cut her off and allow me to, you know, move on. It'll extend my time a little bit, which is a little sad.
By the time they get to the party, right, he tells Randall that he's been up for 28 hours straight. So he has rewound Carrie, like, repeatedly.
Yeah.
Over the last however much time. Like, we don't even know, like, she might have turned to him during date night and been like, we need to talk. And he would have rewound her even then. So,
right.
And we don't know how many times in the past that she's tried to have a conversation with him and he's rewound her. We know that he does it because we've seen him do it. It's funny to me that she didn't suspect it all along. Like, you know what his power is. You know that he likes to avoid responsibility. Like, he's probably messing with your head. It's such a violation, right? It's like reading people's minds. It's also a violation.
Yep. Oh, weird. Powers can lead to violations. Odd.
Yeah. having powers is not all fun and games, which I guess is the point of the show.
Yeah. I did notice that. So, you know, we move on to, hey, Cash has revealed all of the serial party or serial killer party decorations, including masks of Carrie screaming or yelling or whatever. The party decor in general was kind of frightening.
Yeah.
It was basically literally all just pictures of Carrie. And I get it.
It was intense.
You're trying to celebrate her, and give her the, you know, I guess go out with a bang party that you want, but man, that was fucking creepy.
Even Jizzlord was like, this is strange, right? but Carrie liked it, and it must be because every step he took to put the party together, she would be like, I don't want that, that's stupid, and he would, you know, reverse and change it. So this is the party Carrie wanted, which I find really amazing. Like, she's just a person who never has attention on her, and what she wanted so much was just all the attention on her. Like, completely paying attention to her in every way, shape, or form.
So I got the feeling that Cash didn't confer with her with regard to the party decorations, because when he revealed it to Carrie, she was shocked. Jen was like, what the fuck is going on? But she was shocked and she was ecstatic by it. So Cash really does know Carrie. She knows what she likes. Maybe it was just a matter of having an entire party focused on, including the decor, focused on her. Maybe it's the over saturation of attention and focus for, hey, this is a party for Carrie, period. And that's what she was just like, oh my God, like, no one's ever done anything like this before. So he knows what she likes.
He still might have conferred with her at various points and then just rewound it so she didn't know. Right? Like, yeah. When he comes up to her, like, would you like blue? Daisies?
I don't like blue. That's not my color. My favorite color is green. Oh, whoop. Okay. All right. Green sound good?
All green.
Yeah, green sounds great. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, when he shows up with the daisies and she's like, my favorite flower, you remembered. I'm like, did he? Or did he bring you the wrong flowers and then rewind it?
Well, I don't think he could rewind that far, though. I mean, I feel like it was, I feel like he's limited to less than a couple hours.
Yeah, but he still could have gotten the wrong flowers earlier in the day and been like, all right, now I know, and I'll get daisies and I'll bring them tonight. Also, at one point he's like, I'm going to take the recycling bins out so we'll have plenty of room for a cleanup in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, 5 minutes ago, she was like, if you could even just take the recycling bins out.
Yeah, I was like, that line was just so random that I was like, that's got to be something that he did to her, you know, a minute ago or, you know, whatever. But yeah, so they go through and she and... and Jen are like, okay, hey, we gotta do this. Like, Jen's like, oh no, hey, this is your party. He has to listen to you. And Carrie eventually goes and finds him and, hey, we need to have a talk. I feel like the adult in the relationship, whatever. And which is exactly, funnily enough, exactly what we said last week. I think you said that last week, that he was, or she was effectively his mom than his lover.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, and that's what I can do to avoid that. All right, and whoop. Oh, hey, yeah. Interview on Wednesday? Yeah, that'd be great. No problem.
Who has a call like that in the middle of a party when you're standing at the DJ booth? Like,
yeah, at loud, 11 o'clock at night or whatever.
On like a Saturday. Yeah. But, you know, she falls for it in the moment. It's so conniving and so premeditated of him. It's just like, I don't know how she could ever trust him again, ever. Like, even if he gets his life together sometime in the future, like, I would always be like, I can't trust you to not manipulate me with time, which is also kind of sad for him.
Yeah. What can I do to prove to you that I'm listening?
Yeah. A stable job.
Oh, you can get a stable job. Oh, I haven't tried that before. What? No, don't.
It would be incredibly tempting to use the power that way, though.
I get it. Absolutely.
He was definitely putting in an effort. It was just like,
it was just like you said, it was cramming at the, you know, the last couple days before, or the last night before an exam.
Yeah.
Eventually, Carrie does, in fact, see, Cash falls asleep or something. And,
no, it's because partially because he's tired, and also because the daisy that she had put in his pocket was wilted. And so she knew that more time had passed for him than for her.
Right. And so when that happened, she was like, oh, that son of a bitch. I'm just trying to figure out how she got it out of his pocket. Did he fall asleep?
Because
she like saw it and grabbed it and then showed it to Jen. But it was post, you know, after he has talked to Randall about getting whatever was stash or stish or whatever it was called. All the energy drinks.
It's an industrial lubricant in the
EU.
So yeah, that's good.
I get it. It was just,
I don't drink
so
any of those energy drinks. I've never have. I think they're disgusting.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Randall. I mean, he wore that fucking shirt again.
I know. I saw that. I was like, yep, that's going to come up again.
I mean, does he have any other clothes? Now I really wonder, because we've only seen him in the one ensemble. And, you know, last week, you and Jade were like, maybe that's his costume. But, like, he wore it to the party. So it's his every... And he wore it when he tried out for the vigilante group, and he wore it when he was just hanging out at Gregor's house. That's his, like, every day. He wears that same fucking shirt every day. Like, and I could tell he thinks it's a really funny joke.
Right.
Like, ha ha ha, FBI. It's not funny. It's dumb. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
I agree.
I'll give Randall this. He was being a very good friend to Cash, right? Like, first, he gave Cash the advice that he should just have the conversation with his girlfriend. And then when Cash was like, no, I got to do it this other way, Randall was like, hey, okay, I can help you solve that. Here's an energy drink. And then he like physically was carrying Cash around at one point, right? Like, Cash was exhausted and Randall was like, all right, I'm here. Like, I don't know. That's a good wingman. I don't particularly like either of them, but it's good friendship.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely being a support to Cash. I can appreciate where Randall was coming from, and that he, as you said, he was being a good friend. His methods were less than ideal, but, you know, okay, whatever. A guy made a decision and he decided to support that decision, period. Got it.
Yeah.
So moving on. End up with, finally, Carrie, or rather Cash, can't, you know, My Humiliation of the Week, Cash literally just can't come back. He can't rewind anymore. The other part is because, you know, oh, hey, all of your stuff is gone. It was funny. It was almost like putting drugs down the toilet. And I was like, it seems odd, but Randall, make me a can. I was like, I'm not sure what it is that you think is going to happen. Like,
yeah,
I thought it's going to take me a minute, mate.
I've got a vending machine.
Which comes into where what Jen was asking him earlier, as far as, do you have to pull down your trousers every time? Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna have one made with a flap in the back.
Yeah,
just like, okay, I'm done.
I'm just imagining being at a party and having that conversation and being like, so you have to take your trousers off every time. Like, okay. It looked like a pretty fun party. I got to be honest, though. Like, everybody was having a good time. The music was good. Like, people dressed crazy, but fun.
Right.
I was looking at the party guests when they were arriving, and I'm like, did they all shop in Jen's closet? Like, they were all wearing, like, tons of colors and prints. I was like, did Jen pick out everyone's wardrobe? Like, what's going on here?
There was definitely some interesting choices. In I'm like, is that just what parties are like? Is that what people wear to parties nowadays? I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't have been that weird for my college friends to have people dressing like that at some of our parties, I guess.
I mean, yeah, but let's face it. For both of us, college was a long time ago. So, like, in the 90s or 2000s, like, okay, sure. But maybe I'm just that out of touch. I don't know.
Yeah. Years were smack in the middle of grunge. So everybody wore, you know, baggy flannels and ripped jeans. It was not a great fashion time. The other thing about the party and Carrie and Cash is that Jen was being a really good friend to Carrie at this party. She was like, you know, like, this is what you got to do it. You can do it. Just go in there and say it as fast as you can. The thing that she said about when she doesn't want to see anyone anymore, she tells him that she's busy because she found a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence or whatever.
Oh, you national treasure them.
Yes,
I national treasure them.
I was like, oh my God, using that as a verb is so funny.
That's good stuff.
But yeah, I was impressed with how Jen was really there for Carrie in a lot of ways. After where we came from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She was much more impressive as a friend this week. We finished the Cash and Carrie line, our storyline, with Cash being put to bed. And then Jen comes in and she's like, have you seen Jizz Lord? No. I mean, and so she's just off looking for him. And apparently he just left. Not that she knows that necessarily, but he's just gone. All right, that basically ends the Cash and Carrie storyline. Do you have any notes on that?
I don't think so. Why don't we move on to Jen and her mom?
Sounds good. You want to take this one?
Yeah. So, first of all, I just thought it was so funny that Jen, she was doing something when she heard her mother's voice. Oh, right. She had just seen Cash and Randall, like, going. No, that was when Luke showed up. Anyway, she hears her mother's voice in the other room.
Is that my mom? No, yeah. she was sitting with George, with Jizz Lord, and they were holding hands.
Oh, he had just said, I love you. And she said, have you tried the hummus?
Yeah.
Very awkward and sad little moment. And then she tells him to be normal, and he, like, lies on the bed all weird. But yeah, so then she confronts her mother, you know, what are you doing here? And the mother hilariously is like, oh, you're, you know, Abby and her father are driving me crazy. She's so spoiled. Oh, I'm a freak this. My life is a ruin that. I told her to stop whinging. And I'm like, God, you're just a shitty mother.
God, you are horrible.
You're horrible. She's very insulted by the, or offended by the selection of crisps at the party, right? She's like, sweet chili and no cheese and onion. It's unnatural. And then she says, like, oh, well, now I'm going to focus on you, Jen. What do you need help with? Oh, you're very single. no career prospects. The hair. And I, at that point, I was offended for Jen because I was like, Jen has beautiful hair and your hair looks like a cockatoo. Like, I was like, fuck you, Mary.
I did literally write down, oh, Andy's being a total brat. I told her to pull herself up by her bootstraps and stop whinging. So I've decided I'm going to sort your life out. I was just like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank God you were here to fix me.
Yeah, that's just what I wanted, Mom. And then, of course, the mom ends up, first Jen's like, talk to this guy. And it turns out to be Gordon. And then she's like, don't touch her.
This is me now. I'm the cum guy. And so I dress like a pimp. And anybody want to play strip poker?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Gordon was hilarious this episode.
Yeah.
He's so skinny. And then to take off his, like, pimp coat and be all, like, dancing with no shirt on, he looked like some kind of, like, stretched out baby. Like, he didn't look like a man. He has that dumb Napoleon Dynamite haircut still. And, like... oh my God, he was so funny. He was wearing like a tiger claw or something, or a shark tooth around his neck, like so douchey.
I'm just saying that Gordon without a shirt is a lot of surface area for mistakes. Mm. It's a lot of risk. Like, yeah. He's just like, oh, like you're going to end up with a bunch of dudes with their pants full. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like, he could have very easily, like, and he wasn't wearing gloves or anything. Like, he was ready to shake hands with Mary, yep. And Jen had to stop him. Like, he may have embraced being the cum guy a little too much at this point. And as we learn later, some women just straight paid his student loans for him with his gigoloing, which is exactly
I didn't quite understand that. I'm going to go ahead and talk about this now.
Yeah.
So he said that I've been providing unfulfilled women with, with a service. And so I've got 12 grand. I want you to have it because I am just like I feel dirty having it. He's like, oh, you know, you did this, whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, straight women just paid off my student loans. And I didn't quite get that. Like,
I
as opposed to.
I don't think it meant women who are straight. I think it meant straight. Women just paid off my, like, straight was like, they directly paid my loans.
Got it. Okay.
I think that's just a, like, a language difference between UK and US.
Okay. That's, I was just like, wait, so are you saying that LGBTQ plus people, like, gave you cash, but straight women just paid your student loans? I was just trying to understand. I was very, very confused.
If the word straight had been like three words later in the sentence, it would have made perfect sense, right?
Yeah, if it like, oh, women just straight up paid my student loans. Okay, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Like
That's what I think it meant. That's what
okay.
I think it meant.
Got it.
So okay. So 12 grand was just pocket change. He's like, it's just pocket change.
He's like, okay, yeah, you know, I guess it's at $100 a pop. I mean, if you're servicing 10 women a day, you know, it would just... You know, you're not necessarily paying for the boyfriend experience. I mean, whatever. Maybe they're just so grateful. I mean, they're paying more than $100 or whatever.
I'm sure he can charge more than 100.
I mean, he could charge, but if he feels dirty doing it, I would just...
Yeah.
Regardless, I mean...
Yeah.
You're effectively a prostitute, which is okay.
Yeah. Maybe he does...
Sex workers are still workers.
Some, like, pro bono work on the side where he lets, like, less privileged people also have orgasms, but it's free or something. But yes, he's basically a prostitute. That's why Jen called it
Two for Tuesdays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we got coupon day.
Oh, coupon day. That's so gross.
Okay.
So, all right. So Jen's mother meets Gordon, and then she talks to somebody about her play, and it's like super pretentious. She's like, it's about immigrant cleaning people and their powers. They're invisible because they are. And she just goes, nope. And I was like, oh, that's where Jen gets it. Like, she's very direct and very funny. And she ends up chatting with Jizz Lord, who of course does not understand the concept of like privacy or keeping things secret or, you know, being just discreet about anything. So he just blabs to Jen's mother about her business and that she's talking to Martin. Even, and he's like, did you know he's dead? Jen's mother's like, yeah, I'm aware.
I'm aware.
Yeah. And then the wonderful reveal that she's, like, taken the trouble to learn enough about computers to actually use her power. I was like, oh, good for you, Mary.
Yeah, good for you. Seriously.
That's proactive. Like, good for you. You know, and they have, like, a big argument and clear the air a little bit. And I feel like they're closer now as a result. You know, Jen doesn't want to be judged all the time or fixed all the time. And then her mother's like, well, it wouldn't be so bad if you didn't make such bad choices. Jen's like, oh, so if I'm perfect, we wouldn't have a problem. Like, it all that stuff needed to be said and the air cleared. And like, for once, nobody else was collateral damage, right? Like, it was just Jen and her mom having it out. And they weren't like playing a game with like Abby or Susan, the parent at the school, yes, or Susan. Like whoever these other people are. Nobody else had to suffer, and they
I'm gonna fuck
out.
Susan.
Yeah. And then they talk about
I'm gonna cut in real quick.
Yep.
One of my favorite lines in this was it was from Mary, and it was, if you have a favorite child, you're a horrible person. But if you have a favorite parent, no one bats an eye. That's actually very succinct and very true.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well put and something that I'm sure that parents, you know, it's a topic of conversation, but like that's a very fair statement.
Yeah, it is. But I also think it's fair that that is true because parents make the choice to have kids, right? So they owe it to their kids to treat them well and with fairness. Kids generally only have a favorite parent if there's like a really good reason why one of them is not the favorite.
Right. No, that's fair.
And they didn't ask to be born. Like, it's just, I think the responsibilities are a little bit different on each side. I also think that if your best friend could channel the dead, you would also talk to your dead loved yeah. ones. Like, if you had that ability in the next room and she was willing to use it for you, then like, I mean, I would talk to, there's lots of people I would talk to if I had somebody in my life who could do that. Not just
right.
like I would talk to my dad, but like I've lost some friends along the way. I'd like to talk to them. Famous people, definitely some famous people. Johnny Cash would be here like every night.
You'd be having a Charles II, you know, affair yeah. with Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I think so.
See, I told you last week it was tempting. Like, yeah. hey, well, I get it. Like, I
oh
get
what
you could have a satisfying life just being able to talk to dead people.
Yeah. David Bowie. Can you imagine? That'd be so cool. I'd love to hang out with David Bowie.
Yeah.
So then probably my favorite line of the fight between Jen and her mom is when her mom says something about Jen's like, oh, almost all the crisps are gone or something like that. And the mom's like, who did the avocado? Bobby Sands? And I was like, wait, I know who Bobby Sands is. And I had to look it up. It's an incredibly tasteless joke. Bobby Sands was a famous member of the IRA who was arrested and led a hunger strike. In protest over the treatment of he and his fellow IRA political prisoners, because they were treated like criminals as opposed to political prisoners or prisoners of war. And he eventually died from a hunger strike. And there's been some incredibly powerful movies about it. And he's a really important figure in Irish history. But to say like, oh, you didn't buy enough potato chips was, you know, who bought the groceries? Was it Bobby Sands? I was like, oh, that is in such poor taste. But Jen and her mother, like, made eye contact, and they were like, yeah, it's a good one. they liked the same joke, even though, like, that's a joke you can't, like, I don't think non-Irish people could ever make that joke. Like, I don't, it would be very, very offensive. The movie that's called Hunger, that's about the Irish prison hunger strike, is really good. It was directed by Steve McQueen with Michael Fassbender. It's incredibly intense and powerful. I don't think I can ever see it again. It was harrowing experience to watch it. But if you're the kind of person who likes true stories that are told well, it's a great movie.
I'm gonna check that out. Yeah.
So then at the end, of course, you know, Mary's helping Carrie clean up and Jen comes in with Jizzlord and introduces him. And there's the whole funny thing about his name. But then Mary offers to pay for the clinic until Jen tells her it's 12 grand. And then she's like, I don't have 12 grand. I'm not a Saudi prince. Like, I found the mother more charming in this episode than ever before. Like, that was very relatable to be like, I'll pay when you think it's like $2,000 and then you hear 12 and you're like, whoa, I wish I had never said that.
Lead with the price. What did you let me do that for? Very now relatable. I feel like Michael Scott in Scott's Tots. You make a promise that I just can't keep. So the last time that they mentioned price, I felt like it was $9,500. Yeah. Was Jen just padding it?
That's what I had the same thought. I was like, is she working her mother over?
Yes.
Like, I thought it was $9,500.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's extra stuff to it. You know, maybe supplements or whatever that she didn't realize. But yeah, I was like, that seems like a very Jen thing to do, to pad the cost a little bit.
Yeah. But I do feel like it, going into season two, maybe she and her mother have an opportunity to have a better relationship after this like air clearing fight that they had at this party. And, you know, now that her mother knows like more about what's going on with her, I think it's hopeful anyway. Like I can see why they have had problems in the past. I think they're actually very much alike, and that's why they like irritate each other. But hopefully Jen is going to mature a little bit and her mother's going to be less of a bitch and they can have a good relationship.
A couple of lines from the interaction between Jen and Mary that I really enjoyed was, please be more cryptic so I know exactly what's happening. I was like, I've felt like saying that before. And then you didn't do this or that or whatever. You just made me feel like shit. It only seems that way because the choices you make are wrong. the writing, the delivery was just spot on, and it was a fantastic, you know, hey, here's a big old softball and home run for that. You know, I really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But yeah, that pretty much finishes off Mary. I did think that she was relatively receptive to Jizzlord, even if he seemed like a weirdo or whatever. I mean, it's like, oh, this is your boyfriend.
I don't think he seemed like a weirdo to her. I think she just was glad that Jen has a boyfriend.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're not single. I don't have to sort that part of your life out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can talk
any
about
any notes on that?
On the mom, just that she seems to share Jen's fashion sense.
She does wear some ridiculous ass shit.
Like, just like so many prints, so many different textures and prints everywhere. Just,
All right. So I think that finishes up Mary and Jen, as you said. Moving on to Jen and Jizzlord. Yeah. I am just going to say that cold open revealed so many things. First off, that the pink that Jizzlord's been living with for however long bothers his eyes.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm making some changes. And that he spent all morning moving three items and his pillow into her room.
I know. It was so pathetic.
And the mural, the Jen loves Jizz, was just so funny to me. That it's like if his name was Cum Bucket, you know, it's Jen loves cum.
Yeah.
It was just so funny. I really enjoyed that the cold open. Like, you know, it almost we almost like had kind of talked that way about it, right? Like, oh, hey, you know, we kissed. Oh, no, we kissed. Well, people don't normally kiss right after, you know, move in together right after. Well, I'm already living here. I mean, I'm just moving in. And, you know, they hadn't slept together, but they kissed. Oh, but we kissed. Well, right, except that's not really a thing. Yeah, I thought the cold open was a lot of fun. That was what I accidentally watched like the first 20 seconds of before I watched episode 7 again.
Yep. I have to kind of agree with Jizzlord just about that particular shade of pink. I like a lot of pinks, but that shade is very calamine lotion. Like just...
Right.
I don't know. And the blue he chose was nice. I would have been okay with it. I don't know where he got paint from. now that I think about it, it would have been really funny if he was like painting her wall with like nail polish or something. Like, because he just doesn't know any better.
Right.
But yeah, the mural was really cute with like hearts and little circles, and his handwriting, or the in-show handwriting that he has, is kind of adorable.
Do you want to get rid of the mural? The mural like, of words?
Yeah. That you did on top of my wallpaper? Like, oh my God. we'll never get our security deposit back. But he's so sweet and innocent, you know? He just loves her.
Like you mentioned it earlier, but when she says, have you tried the hummus? And he says, I love you. Her response is very gracious, mm-hmm. and it wasn't self-conscious or anything like that. It was just, thank you. And he's like, what's hummus? What's it made of? And I was just like, I was actually quite impressed by Jen's response. Like, it wasn't like a thank you. It was like a thank you. It felt heartfelt. At least to me, it sounded heartfelt.
And she didn't want to kiss him right in front of everyone, but she did, like, go to hold his hand there. That's when she heard her mother, right? So they were having a moment, and then she had to run off and, like, deal with her mother. And then she was distracted again by Cash and Randall. And then by Luke. Let's talk about Luke.
Well, real quick, I just want to cover the stuff that we hadn't covered. So we had another Carrie conversation with herself between Carrie's dad and Carrie. Mm. Carrie's going to break up with Cash. And she's like, I am not. I'm just going to talk to him about whatever, the blah, 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 blah. And you know, Jen's dad's like, well, sounds like I'm going to break up with him. Yeah. the cuts are really what make those.
Yeah.
Like they really do. And the pauses, like the very short pauses, like you're having a conversation. I thought it was really, really well done and well edited. And then we get to the National Treasure line.
That Carrie has, of course, developed a relationship of her own with Martin, right? Because mm-hmm. she's been channeling him for Jen for probably, you know, 7 years.
Right. we're having a party. And then Jizzlord just literally just pops up and goes, we're having a party? And then his next line is, what's a party?
But he's I
do have a slutty dress I want to wear. I was like, all right, nice. Yeah. And then Mary comes in and like pulls down the dress. Pretty good before she leaves the room.
I didn't think it was that slutty, but
maybe. I mean, it was close enough.
Yeah, it was cute.
All right. So yeah, like you mentioned earlier, be normal, Jizz. And he's just like goes to pose sexily cat-like on the bed. Like lay down, and then he's eating the hummus with his hand. When he's like, oh, have you tried the hummus? What's it made of? Chickpeas. And then she goes and talks to her mom and then comes back and
he's just like,
he's just dipping his hand, licking it off of his hand. That was like very, very cat-like.
Yeah.
So then,
I think the next time we see Jizz Lord is when Jen is talking to Luke, right? And Luke is like, reveals that he's texted her a bunch of times and she didn't answer, so he thought she was dead. And the
texts were, you up?
Yeah. Booty call.
Like times four or five times. And I was just like, ugh. Like, it's just, you just make me fucking cringe.
Yeah.
Like, you're maybe worse than Cash.
He is, actually.
Yeah, it's just...
Because Cash can stop being a child and grow up, but I think Luke will always be a selfish tool. Flyboy. She's like, oh, I've just been busy, and he says, with what? And that's when Jizz Lord pops up and is like, who loves a party? This boy does! And Luke is like, we don't need any pills, man. Get away from here. He's like, oh, I'm not a drugsman. I'm Jen's boyfriend. And she's like, And you can tell that, like, she's like, wait, I like you, but this is Luke. Like, I've been chasing Luke. Like, it's Luke. And he's like, want to go for a flight? And she's like, you really mean it? And she's all like, you know, she sort of loses her good sense around Luke. He's not that cute. But she goes out to the park
like,
with him.
I feel like... Luke is her kryptonite. Luke is her, hey, this is what I've always wanted, because he's pretty and he's part of the popular crowd and he has an awesome power, and he was the first, like, he was the one that, as much as I hate to say it, like, he was the one who slept with her, even though he doesn't want to go out on outside dates, he doesn't want to do anything in public, he doesn't want to introduce her to his friends or anything like that. It's literally just a matter of, oh, hey, you know, this is, you're my booty call. And it's just sad that she continues to chase him. Although that's something that happens literally every day.
Yeah. I've definitely had feelings for someone that they didn't return and that they took advantage of before. It sucks.
That's not great.
But he's, like, real blatant about it. When they go to the park, right, he won't let her even hold his hand in front of her own party guests, right? He's, like, afraid of being seen touching her. And then they go to this park, and he's like, all right, I'll fly you. And she's like, so you're jealous that I have a boyfriend? And he's like, that you have a boyfriend? Maybe, but that boyfriend? No. And she's like, why? And he's like, because he's kind of a weirdo. And she defends... Jizz Lord beautifully, you know, she's like, he may be different, but it's not that he's not good, and he says things that don't make sense, but they have their own kind of logic, and, you know, he wants to be with me, and isn't that the most important thing? And
he's
very
funny, not intentionally, but he just makes me laugh.
You know, and it was a little bit like, I was like, oh, it's like every rom-com, right? Like, she realizes love was in front of her all along, and then she gets to chase him in the rain, and they get to kiss in the rain. I was like, oh, it's like Four Weddings and a Funeral. I was like, I've seen this rom-com before. I skipped over my favorite part of their relationship moments, though, was when she said that she wanted him to give her space, and then he comes out of the bathroom with, like, the tiniest, saddest little pouch of belongings tied to a tiny stick.
Yeah, and the vagabond,
like,
stick. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's really, it's like such a pathetic collection of belongings. And then he, unfortunately, hears Carrie and Jen talking about Cash and thinks it's him. They're saying things like, oh, he just keeps making it worse. I've never met anybody who's so stupid about relationships. But it does allow them to have the classic rom-com kiss in the rain moment. And, you know, they get to have the triumphant moment when she introduces him to her mother. And Carrie's reaction when she says that Jizz is her boyfriend is so genuinely happy for Jen and also shocked and surprised. Like, she has everything going on at once. She's like, oh, what? And she's like shaking with joy about it. And it was so cute. I have a friend who's probably listening. Hi, Jeff. And he has started watching the show and listening to the podcast. And he was like, I really don't want Jen to get Jizz Lord. I don't think she deserves him. He should be with Carrie. And I was like, I think Gislord and Carrie are sort of similar people, and
they're too similar. Like, yeah, neither one of them would ever do anything. Yeah, they wouldn't do anything. They just always defer to each other, and Gislord would have no fucking idea what was going on. Now, Carrie could lead Giz by the hand and, you know, make him better and all that. I think she is. I think they're developing that friendship, but I just don't think that he could give her what she needs, not necessarily wants.
Yeah, I think Carrie needs to be with someone who is already a formed human being. And
right.
And Jen is a mess and Giz is a mess, but he's sweet and she's kind of selfish and it sort of works. Whereas I think Carrie and Giz, it would just be like a nice off. It'd be like, I'm sweet. No, you're sweet. I'm sweet. You're sweet. We're both sweet. I like Jen and Gislord together. I think they've always had a genuine connection, right? Like they clicked right away. They had the whole strip club adventure together. I like them together.
Yeah.
And he's into her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is really cute and then really sad later on.
Yes. So, you know, you talked about the kiss in the rain. I did think it was funny that she was like literally calling for him, like, Gislord, Gislord, calling for him like a cat.
Yeah.
and then the random cat who crawls into the dumpster. You want a Ben to be your boyfriend?
It's honestly a
slap in the face. That was good.
Yeah, really cute. It also reminds me of there's the scene at the end of Breakfast at Tiffany's. She chases a cat in the rain. And cries and is like, no, but I really want you to be my boyfriend. And that's how she gets back together with like whoever the main love interest is. I have issues with Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's got some really horrible racism in it. So I've never really been able to go back and watch it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But it did remind me of that scene. It's like chasing after a cat in like an alley in the rain.
I think I've only seen like the first 20 minutes of that movie. And I either got distracted or, I don't know, something. All right. So one of the lines from that whole storyline, was, you know, aren't you my girlfriend? Well, it's complicated. And then later on, oh, I like him. He likes me. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, finally, Jen, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Figure your shit out.
And when he's talking to the mother, he's like, Jen is confusing. I was like, oh, she is. Poor guy. How old do you think he is?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, how old do you think
Gislord I would say late 20s, early 30s, based on the very ending. Maybe like in his early 30s.
Late 20s? He looks younger than that to me, but I think it's just because he has those giant, like, saucer-shaped eyes.
The giant cat eyes.
Yeah, that make him look like a little kitten.
I wonder about the casting for that. We're looking for someone who could maybe have been a cat.
Yeah, right?
Do you have giant eyes? Can you make them just saucer-like?
Yeah. Can you move in a way that's both awkward and graceful at the same time? I wonder if he knew, like, what the part was at first, or if it was one of those things where they just, like, auditioned him and then he found out later that he was a man who had been a cat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sort of curious about that. Like, do you go into an audition being cat-like? Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, and then, you know, normally it's like a blind read. Like, you don't necessarily have anything except for the lines, and at least that's my understanding. Just like, I don't have any. So could you, like, move kind of cat-like? That'd be good. Anyway, all right, so that kind of finishes up the Gislord storyline, except that, you know, hey, it's a happy ending, and so we need a button. We need something that will break our hearts or make us have questions or whatever, and we get it, but we'll get that to that at the very end. All right, so extra party stuff. What do you have for extra party stuff?
It's not exactly party stuff, but when they go to the park, Luke and Jen... there are a couple of signs up in the park that I thought were interesting. One, there was like a whole bunch of posters that all said, stop and think, don't power and drink. And then there was a sign that said responsible power burrow. And then it had this like yellow triangle with a lightning bolt in it. And then I couldn't get all of the light, but all of the words, but it said, we are committed to safe use of powers within our parks and public spaces. A responsible power burrow does not outlaw usage of powers in public, but reflects a decision to control irresponsible something linked to uses of behavior linked to uses of power, personal powers. Prohibition. No person shall refuse to stop drinking using their powers when required to do so by an authorized officer. It is important to note that officers will only enforce this prohibition when people using powers are currently or likely to cause antisocial behavior. Yeah, that's not vague at all. That's not stop and frisk in New York. Okay. Police and council enforcement officers have additional authority where they reasonably believe that a person, blank, 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 powers in public, blank, 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 control zones, or that a person will use their power irresponsibly in public if doing so would breach that prohibition. It allows officers to require that person, if they fail to comply with the request, not to consume alcohol or to surrender anything in their possession, which is reasonably believed to be alcohol or a container for alcohol. When asked to do so by an authorized officer, they could be issued with a fixed penalty notice on the spot fine for £100 or on summary conviction, a fine not exceeding £500, level 2 on the standard scale. I just thought it was a little bit of nice, interesting world building that there's now these like complicated laws that have to do with people using their powers because it could be complete chaos.
Absolutely.
But it's also like, it's kind of fascist the way this is written. It's like, if we think that you might possibly be antisocial in the future, we can like, you know, fuck you up. As a lawyer, I don't like the sign or what it implies, but it's good
world
building.
That's fair.
Yeah.
As far as other random stuff, we did see the guy chugging using the X-ray vision, the other guy using the X-ray vision to watch him getting ready to hurl.
That was gross.
I was like, that's maybe not the best use of your power, but okay. Like, would he just be like an MRI machine? Like, that'd be an interesting. That, I mean, depending on the lengths of that power, that'd be pretty. You mentioned last week monetizing your power, like that'd be pretty lucrative.
Yeah.
It did seem like this was a tiny apartment for this huge party.
Yeah.
the fact that we've only seen, like, we were talking last week about how small the room was and that Jizzlord had to sleep in the bathroom. There's only like two bedrooms. Like a living room, a kitchen, and a bathroom.
I don't think there's two bedrooms. I think one of the bedrooms is the living room, and they don't have a living room.
I don't. Here's why I don't think that. I think that Carrie entered the door last week when she was looking for her hairdryer. And the first episode where Cash had Supercock on his... on his suit.
I forgot about that.
That was like a almost like a separate like that was like the living room.
Yeah, I think because it has those French doors, right, with the glass that open wide. I think that's a living room. And then Jen
I think that was the living room. I thought Jen had a bath or a bedroom. I think Carrie has a bedroom where Cash was sleeping.
I think Carrie and Cash share the living room. But
oh, you think so?
Whatever. It doesn't really matter.
But regardless, it's a small ass fucking room or apartment for this party with 30 or 40 or 50 people. With
That's
more
what makes
coming
it a good
in.
Party. Like if it's not Spilling a little hallway, bit uncomfortably yes. crowded, it's not a good party. It's got to be, you know, just a little too much.
Other things from the party. What else you got?
From the party. We already talked about the guy with the Carrie mask on. That was so weird looking. At first I was like, what is going on with that guy? And I had to rewind a couple of times to understand that it was Carrie's face made into like a paper mask.
Just yep. some funny lines in the party. Mm-hmm. I did think that when Carrie was like, "Is he taking drugs?" Oh my God, it's meth. So like, someone's been watching Breaking Bad. Yeah. It's that's just where we're at.
So sad. Did you notice it was the next day when Jiz was going to the store? The woman dropped her phone, and then she had like a frog tongue. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's an interesting new power we haven't seen before.
That's something we haven't seen. That's like Toad from X-Men.
Yeah.
I did the, and this isn't necessarily party stuff, but just kind of talking notes. When Jen and Luke were talking, oh, I made you a cocktail. Oh, it's just wine. Well, it's got a little umbrella in it. Oh, come on, man. Like, at least give me minimal effort. Like, try something. And then like, oh, you want to take a flight? Well, is there a hotter, taller woman behind me? Because that's literally happened before. That's not great. Red flag, Jen. Red flag.
I'm glad she finally realized that he's just not worth her effort.
Yeah. So like that's pretty much, I think I've covered most of the, Cash did make macarons, which were horrible, but I wouldn't eat them. But that was funny.
My understanding is they're not easy to make at all. So, I have to kind of give him a little respect for even trying to
make macarons. for making the effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So you ready to talk about the
ending?
The ending or the tag?
The shock.
Which is like the worst tag ever.
I know. Not worst, but. Oh, it makes me so sad.
Right?
Yeah. Although that little girl
looked exactly like Jessica.
She was so cute. She's like, "Mommy, very cute. That man looks like Daddy." And then we look at her and she's like, got her face all screwed up in kind of an awkward way and her hair's all crazy. I'm like, oh, that's his wearing, little girl.
Yeah, she's wearing glasses, so her eyes look bigger, and she's got like a kind of like a half smirk on, and she's got her head tilted like a cat. And God, she's perfect. Like, oh my God. And I didn't quite understand why her mom was buying wine at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Maybe because her husband.
Maybe because her husband disappeared 3 years ago. but I was just like, oh, like, and the wife looked familiar to me. I don't know who she was, but I was just like, I feel like I've seen her before. I can't imagine that we won't see her again.
I mean, that's got to be a major storyline. Yeah, major storyline too.
Yeah.
I did not see it coming. It's funny. I had like sort of completely forgotten about like what's Jiz's real life. I was like completely bought into him like being with Jen, and I wasn't ready for this. And obviously, neither was he.
No, I was absolutely not prepared. I was like, okay, I feel like there's a happy ending, and we need like a button. Like that. That's what I just thought to myself. I was like, we need a button to like close out the episode, something awkward, something whatever. And then that happened. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it at all. And, which made it all, I personally think all the better for TV, but, very heartbreaking for the characters.
Yeah, what I really wonder is in that moment when he saw them and they saw him, did his memories come back to him or not?
Yeah, did he recognize anything?
You know, like he heard the kid and he looked at her, and I'm sure that he would have been like, you know, that kid looks like she could be related to me. But did he also have like a flood of like who he is? Like, you know, the whole... all of his memories. You watched The Good Place, right?
Yep.
Like when Michael gives Jason Mendoza back his memories and Jason goes, oh, dip! Like that. I was like, oh, that's what Jizz Lord is doing right now. Oh, dip! Duval! Yeah.
I don't think so. just because they didn't emote that at all. Like, I don't think that any, but it would be interesting. I think that it's going to take some time because he remembered what was in pancakes.
Yeah.
You know, flour, sugar, eggs, and milk. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. All right.
Yeah. He's and, like, I think I'm getting the hang of this. It's like, oh. Yeah.
Aw. It's like, oh, man, this is so positive. And, oh, bomb dropped.
Yeah. And, like, you know, if he had just been 10 minutes later to the store, he might not have ever seen them. And
or if he'd let Jen go.
Yeah.
I mean, or, like, it, one of many things. And then, you know, now Jiz is stuck with this. Sorry, Jen is stuck with this mural of Jen loves Jiz on her wall.
Yeah.
It's just.
I did notice that during the party, she had a like tapestry hanging over it.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was the big heart. Was it the big heart? Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was.
Big heart of Carrie pictures.
No, that was a different place in the house. No, in Jen's room, she had like a some kind of like big scarf or tapestry or shawl or something that was just like hiding the mural.
Gotcha.
I'm sure she didn't want to have to explain that to anyone, even though apparently her room was supposed to be off limits. I've had that experience where my bedroom was supposed to be off limits at a party, and I walk in and there were people in there.
Yep. That's definitely a thing.
Yep.
Do you have any notes?
Just that I really thought it was funny when Jen and her mom and Carrie were hugging because she was going to go to the clinic. And then Jizzlord makes this hilarious, like, well, man, face and hugs Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have met.
We have met.
That was, I forgot about that. That was really funny.
And Gordon's like, yeah. Like, I don't know what it is about. Like, I'm kind of curious about Gordon's power. Like, does he get any kind of feedback from the person? Like, could he recognize Jizzlord's energy or somehow? Did he know he had been the cat? Like, I'm curious, but I also, part of me doesn't want to know. Like, there's something kind of hilarious about Gordon just being Gordon. I love that when he was like, we could all go clubbing, we're young. And then he's like, who am I kidding? I don't like that stuff. And Mary's like, would you like a cup of tea? And he's like, yeah, I do want a cup of tea.
Oh, look, Brits think that a cup of tea solves everything. All right. Yeah, that's basically the way that it is. I've seen that tea makes everybody feel better. All right, great.
Yeah.
I did have Carrie's like, when she realizes what Cash is doing, she's like, it's effed up. And Jen's like, oh my God, Carrie.
Yeah.
that's basically a curse to you.
Yeah. And earlier when they were just talking about whether or not she was going to break up with Cash, and Carrie's like, I suppose I'll just be an adult about it. And I'll say, can we have a little chat? And Jen's like, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it? Like,
yeah, before the National Treasure line. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Time for a break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to move into extraordinary news. So the first one, first article that we got actually talks about one of our favorites, Luke Rawlinson. Disney star supports Brighton Fringe scheme, providing funds for performers. And Penny had mentioned the Fringe Festival out in Edinburgh every year, and that that Luke had taken part in it. But from the article by Savannah Nicholson, a Disney star has supported a Brighton Fringe scheme, which gives funds to performers who otherwise may not have been able to access the arts. The arts festival announced its largest bursary offering to date, with a total of 43 winners across 16 schemes. Definition, a bursary is a monetary award made by any educational institution or funding authority to individuals or groups. So maybe like a grant?
Yeah, I think in the U.S. that'd be called a grant.
Yeah. The bursaries cover a range of genres from dance and art exhibitions and support various performances such as members of LGBTQ+ community and women experiencing homelessness. The program ensures access to the arts for those who ordinarily may not have been able to take part, and each bursary has its own set of criteria and prizes, ranging from financial support to mentoring and rehearsal space. Among the bursary supporters are Luke Rollison, star of Disney Plus show Extraordinary. Hey, star. Nice.
Yeah.
And long-term Brighton Fringe performer contributed to the bursary program by supporting four events. Seeking events from comedians that are underrepresented in the genre and creating alternative comedy, Luke supported events such as Sue Me, Banana Beard at the Actors in Clementine and Clementine at the Rotunda Theater. Hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, a guy being able to give back to where he really wants to make sure that everybody can present to the arts.
Yeah, I love that. It's fantastic. Speaking of our stars and other art projects, Bilal Hazna has a play that he wrote, and I believe it's just him. I think it's a one-man show. It's called For a Palestinian, and it had incredibly critically acclaimed run in September of this past year, and they're restaging it at his theater. And you can buy tickets from anywhere in the world to stream it. I'm sure that like Syria is banned, but most places in the world to stream the play, and and you can see it. Apparently he plays like dozens of characters and switches between different characters through the course of the play. And it's all sort of handled with lighting and stuff. And I think it'll be really interesting, especially after just watching Carrie do that on Extraordinary, and then to see him do this. It's also nice to know that Bilal Hazna is not Cash. He's like a deeper person with more ambition in the world. And I just pulled a couple of paragraphs out of a review of the play. There is something truly special about leaving a theater and feeling as though you have been taken on a journey. For a Palestinian takes us through decades, cultures, wars, and personal relationships, having the audience half the time in tears and half the time snorting from laughter. The show's inspiration, the book For a Palestinian by artist Janet Venn Brown, tells the life story of her former partner, activist Wael Zweiter, a fascinating figure of whom I was previously unaware. Zweiter established a base for Palestinian solidarity within Italy and was tragically assassinated as a result. Bilal Hazna is absolutely charming and bears an almost superhuman ability to switch between characters. Within the 75 minutes of performance, he is Palestinian, British, French, Italian, Australian, at different ages, emotions, and moments in history. The characterization itself is beautifully crafted, and to have this executed by a sole actor is truly impressive. It is easy to forget this is a one-man show when the stage is filled with international communities. And we'll include a link in the show notes to where you can get a ticket if you guys want to take a look at this play. And I think Greg and I are going to watch it and maybe do a special edition of the podcast to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, so I believe it's only streaming available between March 29th and December 2nd.
April 2nd.
December. Wow, April 2nd. So only like 3 days, not like, not you know, 9 months.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, check it out. I look forward to checking this out.
I think some of the ticket proceeds are going to charity as well. But I'm excited to see it. I haven't seen live theater in a while because of the COVID and everything, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I don't think I've actually seen live theater, well, even on TV since like watching Hamilton on Disney Plus during the pandemic.
Oh, that's true. I did see Hamilton a few weeks ago. All right.
Oh yeah, you did. That's right. And was it glorious?
It truly was, actually.
That's awesome.
It lived up. Yeah.
All right. So moving into our listener feedback section.
All right. So we heard from Mona Trowell, and apparently last episode I missed her feedback on episode 7. So this is about episode 7. She writes, "Aw, my heart was broken that my episode 7 feedback got lost in the mix. Joking. I left this on an earlier post for the Merry Monarch. I loved the lively discussion. Off to watch the finale. Maybe I'll be able to leave some feedback for that one." So for episode 7, before 10 minutes into the episode, I thought, this is my favorite episode so far. I loved Carrie forming the relationship with the royal. He was able to say all of the things about Cash that no one else could. I love the line, just because it's well-worn doesn't necessarily mean it's well-fitting. But still, poor Carrie can't talk to Cash. He's totally clueless, and it hurts my heart for her. Equally as fun was the Jen and Jizzlord cat show. When he transformed back into his human form to perform the talent portion was awesome. At least one judge gave them a 10. And oh, the kiss. What? I think this was the best episode yet. I've watched it twice. Can't wait to listen to you talk about it.
Thank you very much for that, Mona. And I will continue on with your episode 8 feedback. So you called it. It didn't take Jen long to hurt Jizzlord. I loved that he was painting the wall and the mural. I loved that he spent all morning moving his stuff into Jen's room. All four things. When she was looking for him, did he put up a sign in the tub that said, "Jizzlord slept here"? I'm glad that in the end, Jen realized that she's not as smart as she thinks she is and actually loves Jizzlord. But what's going to happen next season after hearing, "Mommy, that man looks like Daddy. Eek!" Carrie's party was creepy. Jen nailed it when she said it looked like a serial killer put together. All those pictures on the wall? Cringe. Cash, all I can say is, ugh. I hear you, Mona. I have to say that Jen's mom was great. They had a lot of similar mannerisms. She's quite the character. Thought it was a nice touch that Luke couldn't get it up or lift off when Jen walked away. So with regard to that, I meant to mention it earlier, but it was almost like when your backup school rejects you. That was what happened to Luke. It was like, oh, yep. Now I'm really down in the dumps. But thanks for all the great conversations. Can't wait for season 2. But in the meantime, buzz, 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 and see you around a Podcastica. Absolutely, Mona. Thank you so much for the feedback.
Buzz is a reference to the fact that Yellow Jackets is back at the end of this week. So it's a very different show from this one.
Holy crap.
There's really no crossover that I could point to say if you like Extraordinary, you would like Yellow Jackets. But I like both of them for whatever that's worth.
That's true. Me too.
Our friend Jamie Dimmick wrote in and said, "How could they leave us like that?" with like 4 question marks. "When is season 2? I need to know what happens." So not cool. I agree.
Jamie actually texted me when I said that I watched the finale. She was like, "This is such crap." I was like, "Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but that's fair." We did have 2 voicemails. We got one from our good friend Steve playing that now.
Hello, Extraordinary Cast. This is Steve, and this is for Extraordinary Season 1, Episode 8, Surprise. Which, oddly enough, I'm on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 episode, Surprise, on my rewatch of that show right now. And just for the record, on the face of it, Jen is... Jizzlord is way too good for Jen. Okay, maybe Jizzlord is a little too into this relationship. You national treasure them. I love it. He said, "Surprise, mic drop. I'm way too excited to see Carrie in a slutty dress. I don't know what's wrong with me. Jen in a slutty dress. And it doesn't look all that slutty to me." Oh, but that's sweet. She's holding his hand. He said he loves her, though. Oh, no. Her mother's going to sort her life out for her. So Gordon is now the cum guy. He can't really be on the phone with a job interview that quickly. There's no way.
Good
wait,
point, Steve.
He's been awake for 28 hours. How many times has he backed up time when Carrie tried to break up with him? Oh, and Jizzlord has just revealed everything about Jen's life to her mom. All right, Jen, Jizzlord is so much better for you than Luke is. Why are you, This conversation between Jen and her mom is getting me really choked up now because both my parents are gone, so, Jizzlord is outside the door. He thinks they're talking about him, and he's going to leave. Oh, why is Luke here, and why is he flirting with her? Oh, Luke, bad move, dissing Jizzlord. Oh, and now she's going to try to find Jizzlord, and he's left. Oh, and he just walks around the corner. Oh, this show. What? Really, he's still too good for her, but wow. Wow, and so Gordon's going to pay for the clinic. Wow. Hey, I had to back it up because at the very end here, wait, so Carrie is in bed with them, but there's no acknowledgement of her. Okay, so Jen just touched her feet and What? So Gizlord has a family that's been missing him for however long?
Sounds like Steve had the exact same thought that Jamie had.
Yeah. Like,
yes. Thanks, Steve. That was awesome,
man.
That
was awesome, Steve. I'm sorry about your parents, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, this show takes you on a journey. It absolutely does.
And
makes you laugh hysterically and then go, what the hell is happening? Why do I feel like this? And we have a voicemail from our co-host last week, our guest co-host, Jade. And we'll see what she has to say.
Hey, Penny and Greg. Oh my gosh. What a great show. What a great finale of just an amazing show. I love this show so much. So, okay, let's get into it. I think it's hilarious and kind of disturbing how quickly I can change my mind about Cash just because I see how happy he's making Carrie. Like, at this party, which I don't understand why she loves people walking around wearing, like, creepy face masks of her and all these, like, pictures of her everywhere. Even Gizlord is like, this is strange, right? And Jen's like, yeah, this isn't how parties usually go. But Carrie loves it, you know, and I'm starting to think, okay, maybe Cash isn't such a bad guy. Like so quickly, I will just forgive anyone. As long as they make Carrie happy, it's fine. And I did think that it was bad advice from Jen to confront Cash at this party. I think that there would have been a better time and place. As soon as she said, you have to do it now, confront him, I was like, maybe wait until after the party. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a not nice thing to do. And also, what Carrie said to Cash was exactly what Penny said last week. It was like the exact words Penny used, that Carrie is more of a mother to Cash than a girlfriend. I was like, ah, Penny's exact words. So Cash is like throwing a party, he's taking out the recycling, he's making macaroons, he's doing all of this stuff that a good boyfriend should do. He's all of a sudden really coming through, and he almost had me fooled when he answered her by saying, I hear you, is there something I can do to prove to you that I'm listening? I was like, wow, Cash, emotional maturity, didn't expect it. And then, bam, rewinds time. Fakes a phone call to get he's getting a job interview. And I'm like, no, I hate you. Shit. I was fooled. You had me fooled, man. Damn it. And then I remembered, nope, you suck. And Carrie's like, what if he's been doing this our whole relationship? And I'm like, oh, Carrie.
What do you mean,
sweet,
what if?
Naive Carrie.
Yeah, seems pretty
clear.
I mean,
this is what I was talking about. I would be very, very hesitant to date someone with this superpower. And this is the worst superpower that Cash specifically could have. But it was really devastating, the breakup moment. Cash desperately trying to turn back time. It was so devastating. I hate him, but I really hated seeing him cry like that. Because those were real tears. His heart was just broken, and so was Carrie's. The acting was spot on, man. This scene, I was crying. I mean, it was really, really emotional and so uncomfortable. I did not like the feeling that I had, but I'm really glad that Carrie did it. I mean, I was applauding very hard. I was like, yes, yes, good job. Please let it be over soon because I don't like this feeling. But yeah, good for Carrie. And then stuff with Jen. So Gizlord tells Jen's mom that she's, you know, trying to get into the clinic, but she doesn't have money. And she talks to her dad. And it never occurred to me that her mom, like, didn't know that Jen often communicates with her dad. And I got really choked up when they had their mother-daughter chat. This episode had me so weepy. Because I totally see it from both of their perspectives. Her mother has every right to be hurt, you know, and feel like Jen favors her father more than her and feel, you know, shut out by her own daughter. And Jen has every right to talk to her father and feel more comfortable with him because her mother does seem to be really embarrassed by Jen's lack of powers. Like I've said it before, her mom isn't the best mom, in my opinion. And so it really hit home, you know, to see them have this heart to heart. I was like, oh, man, I feel like I've had similar conversations like that with my mom. And it was sweet and it was touching. And I did really enjoy that moment for Jen. This was a great episode for Jen because I was also very proud of her to stand up to asshole pretty boy over there. I can't remember his name. and decide her love for Jizz Lord. It was so sweet. And then he lost his mojo and like couldn't fly. And he was like, this has never happened before. I thought that was funny. And then Jen and Jizz Lord getting together was everything. And it reminded me of the ending of Breakfast at Tiffany's, yeah, where Audrey Hepburn is running down that alleyway and she's like, cat, where's the cat? And George Peppard comes out and they kiss in the rain and she realizes her love for him and she just, you know, leans in, as they say. And I loved it for them. It was just such a sweet little moment. I'm sure that they were paying homage to, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah,
that could not be a reference. And did you guys notice that Jen's hair was in little like cat ear buns?
Yeah.
And she was, you know, subconsciously, I think, embracing her inner cat love. So I was like, yay. I got all of the warm fuzzies when they were kissing in the rain. It was so sweet. The only thing that I had a problem with this whole episode, I was just pretty bummed about. I was like, what? Was when Gordon offers to pay $12,000 for Jen's clinic. I was like, why? If it were a closer friend to Jen, like Cash or Carrie, I would understand. But he literally only met Jen once, and they didn't have that great of a time together. And now he's at her party, apparently a very successful gigolo, which is very funny. He would rather she took his hard-earned money, $12,000. I was like, no.
It
took me out of it a little bit. I don't want to be hard on the episode. I really don't, because I loved it. This is not that big of a deal, but it was like, huh? This is a little weak to me. I don't know. Weak sauce. I didn't believe it fully. I thought the writers could have done a little better with that one, but whatever. Okay, and really quick, little moments that I loved with Jizz Lord. He's so cute with his like five possessions in the world. His little pillow, his whistle, his spoon, his empty tuna can with something in it that I could not tell what that little white thing that was in that can was. I don't know, maybe it was a cat toy. And his tape recorder. And there's like all his little possessions. And then another moment when Jen was like, stay here and just be normal. And he like lays on the bed and like gingerly like puts his feet up and kind of poses like a cat would. And then him eating ice cream with a giant spoon and just pops up like, hello, do you like to party? Because this boy does. And then, oh my God, his little twig and bundle killed me when he comes out of the room
so
with
small.
His little bundle of stuff and the little feather was sticking out of the bundle. Oh my God, I was dying, man. And did you catch the little sign on the ledge of the bathtub? Jizz sleeps here. I thought that was a nice little touch. And then at the end of the episode, that man looks like Daddy. What? Jizz Lord? You a daddy? Oh my God. I can't wait for season two. I'm just so excited. Okay, this has gone on long enough, but I love you guys. This has been wonderful. What a great show. I'm so happy that we were watching together, and I can't wait for the next season. Okay, I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye, Jade.
Thanks, Jade. Yes, I agree. Now it makes a lot more sense why they announced the season two with that cliffhanger.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, so early after they released all the episodes where we're just like, oh, it's awesome that they got season two. You're right. It was this definitely took us on a journey. And thank you so much for writing calling in, Jade, or sending in, or however you refer to that now. he was eating hummus, not ice cream.
Yeah, hummus, not ice cream.
Which I thought was even funnier.
Yeah, much weirder to eat that with a big spoon or with your hands.
Yeah.
Like just kitty cat style.
But all right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your patronage, or at least listening to us. I don't know if patronage is the right word.
Listenerage.
Listenership. There we go.
If you'd like to get in touch with us or find more about Podcastica and what this Podcastica thing is all about, you can find all kinds of information about us at podcastica.com. Contact information if you want to send an email or a voicemail, but also links to like our social media pages and stuff.
Yeah, and so we've got a couple other shows going on, but with regard to Extraordinary, like Penny mentioned, we may go ahead and just do a coverage of For a Palestinian, or maybe a couple other pop-up episodes every once in a while. So stay subscribed or tell other people about the show. Like you said, Penny, like I think that at least I hope that a lot more people discover the show. Maybe we'll have some competing podcasts out there to talk about how awesome it is in season two.
Yeah, but for now, I think we're the only one, so I like being out in front.
Yeah, it's nice. But yeah, like you said, Yellow Jackets is coming back, and Yellow Jackets WTF. Really looking forward to you guys covering that and seeing the season itself. And then Mandalorian and Star Wars cast has been on for the last, I think, 3 weeks. I still need to watch this week's episode.
Oh, this week's episode was better than the first two.
Oh, really? I really enjoyed the second one.
Yeah.
Regardless. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm knee deep in a Ted Lasso rewatch. So I'm kind of, man, they're just so good to watch. But regardless. Then on Strange Indeed, I know they're closing up You, the second half of You season four. I think we're on season four.
Yeah, season four.
I've
been really enjoying their coverage of You. I never watched the show as closely before. Like, I watched the first three seasons and I didn't listen to a podcast about it or anything. And this season, I've just really been digging Rima and Paik's coverage and all the different crazy theories. And it's been a really fun season of that show.
I need to be in the right headspace for it, and I just need to find the time for it.
Yeah. But there's too much good
stuff.
Maybe
I'll be able to get into it. Yeah, there's way too much good stuff.
So, yeah, we'll be back for season two, and we'll let you know if anything else comes out in the meantime. And remember, stop and think. Don't power and drink.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.